I give myself
as an offering.
Holy, acceptable Lord.
Father, we worship and honor you again today. Thank you for your tangible presence in our midst. As we go into the word, we do not enter in presumptuously. We enter in with an attitude of reverence and awe and humility. I pray you will anoint me afresh, Lord, as I come to deliver your word, that I would speak indeed as I should, as an oracle of God. I ask the same unction and anointing be put upon the ears and the hearts of everybody that will hear me, both those who are here physically and those who will be hearing me remotely, electronically, anywhere and at any time in the world. I pray that, Lord God, the word will flow freely, Father, from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own. In particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, our minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray as I speak that the power of the Spirit of God be released in great and insufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes. Yes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. I also pray for mercy to be faithful, to deliver the word with precision, to redeem the time and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mentioned in their own individual lives, all agreed individually and said,
amen.
I have a very important prophetic present day message for us. And this message has universal application. In other words, it's not just for us here in Scripture Pasture. It's actually for the whole church. And it's entitled, "It is time," everybody shout time, "to follow Jesus." I'm going to take my foundational texts from Hosea chapter 6. And we're going to be looking at verses 2 and 3. After 2 days, will he revive us? In the third day, he will raise us up. And we will live in his sight. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Say it again. It is time to follow Jesus. Now, that is something that's very common. People say, oh, it's time to, it's always time to follow Jesus. But what we're saying now is much deeper than just becoming a Christian. It is time. The word follow in the Greek, this is Hebrew, but the Greek equivalent is the word mimetes, which means to imitate. I'm going to probably preach another message just on imitating Jesus, but this message is a part of that. The issue now is the issue of time. Everybody say time. Understanding the time in which we're living in, the times we're living in, is very crucial to our Christian lives, because if we don't understand the time, we will not be motivated to do what we ought to do. The sons of Issachar, we typify the prophetic of them. The scripture says in 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 32, he said these had understanding of the times. Everybody say times. And what Israel ought to do. Understanding the time is very important. When you understand the time, you will have a sense of urgency. You will also have a sense of destiny. When you don't understand the time, it is very likely you'll be complacent. In other words, you will be lackadaisical. You will not be in a hurry. Let me put it that way. And God wants us to be in a hurry. Now. A hurry to close the age. These two scriptures, Hosea 6, 2 and 3, God gave me a deeper understanding of them over the last 25 years. In the mid-1990s, 94, 95, 96, the understanding I had of this scripture was that after 2 days, I had that understanding. 2 days just means 2,000 years. You know, the Bible says a day with the Lord is 1,000 years in 2 Peter chapter 3. So my understanding was that around the year 2000, there's going to be a revival. It says after 2 days, he will revive us. And then in the third day, God will raise us up and he will take us home in the rapture. That was my understanding. And that understanding is still correct. It's not wrong. It's just that it was incomplete. And this was my experience. And not only my experience, the experience of the whole church. We all expected a great outpouring and a revival in the year 2000. But it didn't come. It came, but not in the way we thought. And I'll explain as I go on. And we thought, okay, there's going to be a great revival. And then, you know, the nations of the earth will be discipled and Jesus will come. And that's still going to happen. But we didn't understand with better clarity what God was really saying. Because if you look at verse 3, you will find that that interpretation of verse 2 could not be complete. I will not say it's not incorrect. It was just incomplete. He said, when he raises us up, when he revives us, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. But if we had been raptured, then there would have been no need to follow on. If what he meant by raising us up was the rapture, then there will be no need for us to follow on to know the Lord, because we'll already be in heaven. And then he went on to say, he's going forth as prepared as the morning. I'm going to look at this in the Amplified Bible, and then probably I'll also take a few phrases from some of the other translations. I have a lovely Bible here, the Esword. I have so many translations in front of me at the same time, so I can quickly pick out what I want. And the Amplified Bible says, yes, let us know, recognize, and be acquainted with and understand him. Let us be zealous. Everybody says, shout zealous to know the Lord. Now, we've known God before. He said, but once you get into this, after 2 days, and you get into this third day, you must increase the zeal with which you are pressing to know the Lord. Let us to appreciate, give heed to, and cherish him. That's what the Amplified Bible says. He is going forth, is prepared and certain as the dawn. I prefer some other translations. The complete Jewish Bible says, that he will come is as certain as the morning. The New International Version says, as surely as the sun rises, he will appear. I like that one best. What is God telling us here? He's telling us that in these times in which we're living, and when the Bible says time, it's talking about years. And we're going to see the significance of that as I continue this message. He's talking about years. For example, in the book of Daniel, to Nebuchadnezzar, it says seven times shall go over 7 years. You know, talking about the tribulation in Daniel, you know, as well as in the book of Revelation, he says a time and times and a time and a half. He's talking about years. So when the Bible talks about times, he's talking about years. That's why I say this time. Everyone shout it again. Time. To follow Jesus zealously. I didn't hear you the second part. But let's say it together again. Say it is time to follow Jesus zealously. To press on to know the Lord. He's talking about his zeal. Determination to press in to know the Lord. But you see, you won't have that zeal. You won't have that urgency if you don't understand the time. And sadly, so many Christians don't understand the time. The understanding I gave you, which I had in the mid-90s into the early 2000s, was that there was going to be a revival around the year 2000. And when our revival comes, then we will be raptured. And like I said, it's not wrong, because we're still, the same thing is still going to happen. We're still going to be, there's going to be a revival and we're going to be raptured. But that's not what he was talking about, you know, when he was talking about the transition between the 2 days and the third day. The 2 days there refers to 2,000 years from the birth of Christ, which came about 1996, because according to our Gregorian calendar, Christ was actually born 4 BC. Not 0 BC. So we actually entered the third day in 1996. And then we expected that, okay, by the year 2000, something will happen. But it didn't happen that way. But something actually happened. He said, after 2 days, he will revive us. The word revive means to give life to, which is what he did. But we didn't understand what happened. And I want to share some of that with us. What happened then was that there was an experience and a revelation of cleansing perfection that had been made available to the church. A clear revelation. I had been teaching on some of these things for years, and I had heard other prophetic teachers. But when that transition came, the clarity, the precision, the understanding. Scriptures, that time I used to teach, and I still do, you know. But of course, there's been more revelation now, and there's greater, you know, on what we call the seven pillars of wisdom, you know. And one of the scriptures that was really highlighted, we find it in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, where it says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all, I remember teaching these things in the late 1990s and in the early 2000s. Everywhere I went, this is what I taught. Let us cleanse ourselves from all. That word all jumped out at me. Filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting, you know, holiness in the fear of God. That's cleansing perfection. And it's a present continuous thing. That understanding came. The clarity of understanding that perfection is a spiritual state in which the sin nature, he was that 2 Corinthians 7, it was not written to unbelievers. It was not written to unbelievers, it was written to Christians. Dearly beloved, born again, let us. So it means that Christians still have filthiness of the flesh, and Christians still have filthiness of the spirit. Otherwise, that scripture would be nonsensical. It means that the sin nature was still in the soul. The spirit there just means the inner man, you know, in the mind, the will, the emotions, as well as in the physical body. And we were supposed to use the word of God, the promises in God's word, to cleanse ourselves from all. All means all. Get rid of everything. You know, filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting. Again, that is in present continuous sense. All this came to me after 2 days at that time. Because that's what God did. He revived. He gave life to us and brought this understanding. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. The emphasis. I remember when we began our website. We began our website January 1, 2001. All of the year 2000, all this revelation, actually from 1996, I began to preach, and we made these books called Landmarks. You know, they were just pamphlets of some of my teachings. You know, Pastor Wale, Pastor Buega, they all helped me to, you know, they would transcribe my messages, then we would edit them, you know. And when I look back now, I now saw that's exactly what God said He was going to do. He was going to revive. He was going to give us life that will now give us revelation and the experience of cleansing perfection, where we now use the blood of Jesus, we use the word of God, we use the power of the Holy Spirit to clean out the filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And the emphasis on the fear of God, there was fresh revelation on what it means to fear God. To fear God, to know the certainty of His judgment and chastening if we disobey, and then the security of His mercy when we... I never heard anything like it before. All of that, we captured it by the grace and the mercy of God, you know, and we put it in writing. And then we started the website. It was January 1, 2001. The first article in our weekly reading was the fear of God. Because it's foundational. And you know what the Bible says? It says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The wisdom of the seven pillars. We say wisdom has built a house. You know, she's you not a fellow. The foundation of it is the fear of God. If you don't get that, you can't get all the other things. And so that was what God had in mind when He says after 2 days He will revive us. And it has happened. It has happened by the grace and the mercy of God. And that truth is now available to the church. This concept of perfection is something that has been obscure. People see it in the Bible because the Bible says so. You know, that unto a perfect man is the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You know, but you know, people didn't believe it. And the reason why people didn't believe it was twofold. Number one, most people didn't believe that we can ever be like Jesus because Jesus is God. This was the understanding of most of the church. And it's an erroneous understanding. I'll explain why. Jesus is God. So we put Jesus in. Jesus is over there. We are here. You know, just Son of God. But we are just children of God. You know, and you know, we're living in a sinful body. And we can approach it. But we can never be like Jesus in this lifetime. That was the understanding. But when that revival came. When that life came. When that light came. God began to make us understand that Jesus did not operate as God when He was here. He operated as a man, anointed by the Holy Spirit. And everything Jesus did, He didn't do it as God with omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence. He did it with the same limitations that you and I have. He did everything as a man. That's a vital truth and a vital revelation you need to understand. And you know what? The Bible says that He was tempted in every. Thank God. Give the Apostle Paul another clap offering. What would we do without Hebrews? It's the book of Hebrews that we see all this revelation. Where Paul said, you know, He was tempted in every way like as we are, yet without sin. He was his same limitations. He had to pray like you did. But in the days of his flesh. Again, Paul. We're going to come back to that before we finish this message. He offered up prayers and supplication in the days of his flesh. He was a man like you and I. Now, we know he was God. But when he was on earth, he was not operating as God with his omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence. He was operating as a man. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. He didn't do anything as God. He did it as man anointed by God. That's why you can do it. And these scriptures that were there before, but they began to open up because light had come. It's like what the Bible says in the book of Daniel. He says, seal it up until the time of the end. So when that time came, that 2 days, a lot of things, they became unsealed. God began to show to us, that's what this really means. Now, it means that we can grow like Christ. You know, I remember those days, and I still do it today, you know, but that time I was very, you know, very zealous about it. I went all over this country by the grace and the mercy of God, north, south, east, and west. God put us on television. We're on television and here in Ibadan. We're on OGTV, you know, which reached into Lagos. We were in Enugu. We were in Kaduna, everywhere. And we were broadcasting these were the things I was teaching, you know, to make sure that everybody, it was available to everybody by the grace and the mercy of God. So God did it. After 2 days, he did revive us. But there's a second thing. He said, in the third day, he will raise us up. Now, it's not the rapture. Later on, we're still going to be raised up in the rapture. So I believe in that. But he's not talking here about the rapture. What does he mean that in the third day, he will raise us up? Just before I go there, there's another scripture I just want to mention. It's a powerful scripture, you know. Again, it's one of those scriptures that the church overlooks. When I say, not that we don't, we overlook it. There's scriptures we don't like to touch. If people don't talk about it, they just leave it. There are actually two of them, you know. One is Ephesians chapter 5. He said that he might sanctify it with the cleansing of water by the word. This is why we got cleansing perfection from this one and 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. That he might present it to himself, verse 27. A glorious church, not having spot. Eka. Bro, Elam is laughing. Not having spot. Or that it should be holy without. Is this possible? You see, the amen did not, the yes was not. People don't believe it. They don't believe it. They read it. This is the church. Watch this. He will present to himself. That's the church that's going to be raptured. It's like somebody, you know, the bride. This is the church that is going to be presented, that's going to marry Jesus. You know, you're not married yet. You're only engaged. Don't let's go there. Hello? Oh, yeah. That's why he's doing a work in us now. He's using the word of God. With the washing of water by the word. Having therefore these promises, let us cleanse ourselves. Same thing. Paul said the same thing in two different ways. You know, from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. Then in 1 John, one of my favorite scriptures, I used to say it a lot in those days. I still say it now, but not without frequency, because now I believe that this everybody has got it. You know, or at least I have understood it. At least if you're listening to me, you know, and not just me and other prophetic teachers, you know, if you haven't got this by now, you know, I don't know if you will ever get it. Praise the Lord. You know what he said? He said that as he is, so are we in this world. You know, when you put all these scriptures together, it gives no room for unbelief. You either accept the testimony of God's word or you disbelieve it. Or just, you know, refuse to believe it. But it is clear. As he is, so are we in this world. Now that one beautiful one in Ephesians chapter 4, which we say every day, Pastor Olaolu said it today, you know, every Sunday, you know, the vision of this church, you know, that we might grow up into him in all things. I like those scriptures because it doesn't leave any wiggle room for human interpretation. Now, the question is, how is this going to be possible? Because most Christians don't believe. They don't believe. Eh? Without spot, blemish, or wrinkle, or any such thing. What? cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, grow up into Christ in all things, as he is, so am I in this world. Ah. Then that lovely one in 1 John chapter 5, I think I quoted it during the Bible study, you know, where he says that whosoever is born of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one toucheth him not. These are revelations that very few, if any, Christians have actually experienced and demonstrated. So the great majority of the church don't talk about them. They will not come out and say they're not true. They're just silent on them. They just omit them. And that's what God wants to change. Hence, he has sent us, not just me, Olubi, but prophetic teachers, you know, prophetic and apostolic teachers. He has sent us to the church in this third day to tell us, honey, that this is what we ought to do. Have understanding of the times. We're now in the third day. We've passed after 2 days. After it was a transition. 96, 97, 98, 99, 2000. Then we entered into the third day. We actually entered 1996. So we're in the third day now. So he's telling us now that this is what Israel ought to do. In this time, this is what we ought to do. What are we ought to do now? We ought to be taking the word of God, the exceeding great and precious promises, and become partakers of the divine nature, cleansing ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. All. Everybody shout all. All. Not some. Perfecting. Talking about perfection. Holiness in the fear of God. To grow up into Christ in all things. Everybody shout again, all. This is the time to do it. Now, what does he mean by he will raise us up? Look at Isaiah chapter 2. You know, I'll tell you something about scripture. It always interprets itself. You don't have to try and do any deception or sleight of hand. The Bible is a very wonderful book. There will be another scripture that will perfectly interpret another scripture. You don't have to add to it. You don't have to take away from it. He said, and it shall come to pass in the last days. Don't your neighbor say the last days is the second and the third day. Let me just give you something free of charge. You know, this is prophetic teaching. The church had only 3 days. God's plan for man was spread over 6-7 days, really. I'm talking about from the time of Adam. Now, we know that, you know, there were the demonic and Satan was here for billions and millions of years. That's why you can find fossil bones and all of that. That does not do away with the reality of the Bible. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Then the earth became without form and void. We don't know how long that was for. You know, how long it took to become without form and void. And then we don't know how long it stayed like that. That's where you get all the dinosaurs and all of that. That does not disturb the truth of God's word. But when you take it from the Adamic stock, we got 6 days. The first 4 days, we're talking about 1,000 years, millennia now. The first 4 days, that's why it took time for Jesus to come. He didn't come in the first millennium. He didn't come in the second millennium. He didn't come in the third millennium. He came in the fourth day. You know, that last song John Wesley writes says, late in time, behold him come. But he now came. Then the church was now born. Then we now have the 3 days of the church. The first millennium of the church. The second millennium of the church. Now we are in the third millennium. This third millennium is what is going to slip into the millennial reign of Christ. But before that can take place, Jesus himself said it. These things I have spoken about must happen. He must have a church that he can present to himself that is without blemish, spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. A church that is perfecting holiness in the fear of God, using the exceeding great and precious promises of God's word. A church that will then make disciples in every tribe, tongue, and kindred. All that has not happened yet. And that is where we are now. For this to happen, he has to raise us up. Read. And it shall come to pass in the last days. Turn to your neighbor and say, in this third day. That the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains. That sounds like tautology. I would say the mountain of the Lord's house. Then turn to your neighbor and say, what in the world does that mean? I thought the Lord's house was the church. So is there a mountain? He's talking symbolically. He's talking prophetically. He's talking about the mountain there is symbolic of prayer. So there is a prayer of the Lord's house. Now, the Lord is love. So there is a prayer of love that God is going to reveal, and he's already revealed it. We're already practicing it. In the last days, it will become established, and then it will be at the top of the mountains, and it will be exalted above all hills. Any kind of spiritual power on the earth. The mountain of the Lord's house will be superior to it. There will be no power on earth, physical or spiritual, that can remotely match the power of God that will be in God's house that has been established on the mountains. And you know what? The result of it is what we're going to see here. And shall be exalted. No. Stay in verse 2. You jump to verse 3. Go back to verse 2. And it shall be exalted above all hills. That is all other, you know. Have you noticed something, Prof? That whenever he talks about idolatry, he says they make sacrifice on every hill. Have you noticed that, you know, occultic people and people in witchcraft and all that, they like to go to the hill. It's all symbolic to show that they are higher than everybody else. But the one God gives us is far superior. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. Shall be exalted above all hills. Remember what Jesus said. He said, nothing shall by any means hurt you. He said, I give you power to, we'll deal with that in that Romans 16. At the end of it, he talks about, you know, God will bruise Satan under your feet shortly. No power can remotely compare. You know, in the day of Moses, I just got a fax. Moses will put down his rod, and Jannes and Jabez will put down their rods. Then Moses' rod ate their own as a show of superiority. In our own day, it's going to be the same, but even better. Glory be to God. Moses' rod ate it became a snake. And so the Satan's people, they too put down their rods, and their own also became snakes. But Moses' snake ate the snake of the Jannes and Jambres. But in our own time, when we put it down, you know, to become whatever God wants you to become, and they put their own down, it cannot even become a snake. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. Our very presence, the effulgence of the glory of God that is coming out of us will paralyze all satanic power. Even to perform, they will not be able to perform. They could perform in Moses' day, but the glory of the latter house. I was reading my Bible jejely on my own this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. He says that Moses put a veil on his face because of the glory. They couldn't look on Moses' face. He says that if the glory that is departing, he says, how much more the glorious will be the glory that remains. Thank God for what Moses did. But what we're going to do is going to far outstrip everything Moses did. They won't even be able to perform. You know, in Moses' time, they were able to duplicate all the miracles to some degree. I'm not saying they won't do miracles. But once we step on the scene, everything that they're trying to do, the power that they're using will be paralyzed. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. And all nations will flow into it. Flow into what? The church. Talking about making disciples of all nations. So you can see this is not the rapture. This is the discipleship of the nations by the power of the Spirit without measure that is going to come to the church that is established upon the mountains. Next verse, verse 3. And many people, I didn't hear you. Turn to your neighbor and say, observe, it is not all people. It says many people. We want everybody to get saved. But not everybody will. But many will. You know, that's why when you read your Bible, you have to read it very carefully. It didn't say everybody. It said all nations will flow. In other words, we will have representatives from every tribe, tongue, and kindred. But now it said many people. You see, everybody will see what God is doing. But not everybody, sadly, will agree, will submit to it, will believe, will come to it. Now, that's not the will of God. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You need to understand that in this coming revival, in this coming glory, in this manifestation, not everybody. It's going to be many people, but not going to be everybody. Some people will see it like this. Something that's always amazed me, honey, is that in Jesus' ministry, with all that power, you would have thought everybody would follow him. But it didn't happen, did it? In Nazareth, where he grew up, they didn't even accept him. Even though they heard about the miracles, they said, what you have done in Capernaum, come and do here in your own country. Physician, heal thyself. And the Bible said he could there do no mighty work because of their unbelief. Isn't that amazing? It's not going to be any different today. That's why it's not everybody. It's going to be many people. Many people, I didn't hear you, shall go and say, come, let us go. Observe, it will be the people who are telling themselves. The day of the church, you know, doing poster and all of that. There's nothing wrong with doing publicity. But, you know, the glory of God is going to be our publicity. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. Come ye. I didn't hear you. Let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us miracles. People, miracles will be so common, it will not be what people are looking for. People will not come to church to see his works. They will come to church to learn of his ways. The Bible says, God showed the children of Israel his works, but to Moses, he showed him his ways. There will be a hunger and a thirst for people, amongst people of the earth, to come and know God's ways. He shall teach us of his ways. I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. And we will walk in his paths. Talking about love, you know, walking in the ways of God. For out of Zion, the word for means because. You see, Zion represents the perfect church. So out of Zion, teaching and preaching about perfection and the ways of the Lord will be coming out. And people will be coming to Zion to come and get it. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Jerusalem here is not just the physical Jerusalem that is in the Middle East. He's talking here about the church. He said we are born of the new Jerusalem mother in heaven. He's talking about the church. The place of revelation. That's what Jerusalem is. You see, in ancient Israel, you had, ever say Israel, Jerusalem, Zion. Zion was David's house, palace. Zion was inside Jerusalem. And of course, Jerusalem is inside Israel. So in prophetic typology, one interpretation is that Israel just stands for the whole church. The Bible talks about the Israel of God, everybody who gets born again. Jerusalem stands for the church that begins to get the revelation of perfection. Zion stands for the church that is now walking in it. So this is what God meant when he said, after 2 days, he will revive us, and in the third day he will raise us up. And it is this raising up we are waiting for now. Because it is the spirit without measure that will raise us up. That's what's going to attract the nations. That's what's going to take us above all hills. And that is what we are waiting for now. So the scripture tells us that in this third day now, he said, then shall we know if we follow on to know. This is the time. What are we supposed to be doing now? Following zealously. I like the way Paul put it. He says the same thing in Philippians. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Am I talking to anybody here? Philippians chapter 3. He talked about press on. You see, if you look at that Hosea 2 and 3, and you look at some of the translations, it says, in the Amplified Bible, it says, let us be zealous. In another translation, it says, let us press on. That's where Paul picked that, and he said this, even though he knew the Lord already, even though we all know the Lord, in Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to look from verses 10 through 12, he said, that I may know him. Turn to your neighbor and say, it is time to know God at this level. He said, then shall we know if we follow on to know. It's conditional. It's not automatic. If you want to know the Lord, now you have to follow. To follow means to imitate. You have to be, imitate, follow God like Jesus followed God. In the fear of God, in daily prayer, with all kinds of prayer and strong crying and tears, in consistent obedience by keeping the commandment of life and love once every 6 hours, you know, frequently and in between, you know, frequently praying in tongues. That's how you follow the Lord. That's how you follow him. That's what he did. That's the way. There's no other way. Even all those prayers has a foundation of the fear of God. Jesus was heard in that he feared. See, if I'm praying in tongues and growing and all of that, and I'm not practicing the fear of God and the love of God, all that, I'm going to say that as I close, you know, all that's not going to be very effective. And that is, I'm getting ahead of myself, is one of the reasons why a lot of our praying has not been as effective and has not produced the results that we expect. Because many times people are praying, but the fear of God is not there. Or it's not significant. It's not developed. And it's not developing. And that is why when God had us to teach us all of these things, I began these things in 2003. Looking back now, I now see what God was doing. He was preparing us. When I started teaching on keeping yourself in the love of God, and I brought in, you know, the prayer for the fear of God, and I brought in prayer for the fruit of the Spirit. In Good Morning Jesus, that's why I always recommend it for people. You know, you want to grow spiritually. You want to start praying properly. You know, really become a disciple. There's another message I'm preparing. It's coming. Becoming disciples and sons. The fact you're a Christian does not make you a disciple. I didn't hear amen. Only Pastor Wade said amen. I said the fact you're a Christian does not make you a disciple. A disciple is one who follows Christ in these disciplines. And you find that, you know, they don't discipline themselves. So, you know, and so the Good Morning Jesus is a very good platform because it's structured prayer. The prayer for the fear of God is there initially, you know, foundationally. The prayer for the fruit of the Spirit, the life of God, you know, in small doses, but it's there. Because it is on that foundation that the strong crying and tears work. You know what I'm doing? What Israel ought to do. That's what I'm telling you now. If you want to know the Lord in this way. So here, Paul says, that I may know him. I didn't hear you. The power of his resurrection. Stop. You know, when you read this Bible, read it with sense. Turn to your neighbor and say, Paul, who preached in Illyricum and had miracles and all that, didn't he know the power of his resurrection? How can he say he wants to know it? Is it not the same Paul that raised the dead when that boy was sleeping? He didn't even pray, just put his body on him. Yet this same Paul said that I may know him. There are levels. It wasn't that Paul didn't know God. It wasn't that Paul did not know the power of his resurrection. But you know what Paul was looking at? He wanted the same measure that was on Jesus Christ, which he knew he didn't have. We call it the spirit without measure. That's what he's saying. That's what Hosea is saying. Let us follow on to know the Lord. Then watch what he said. He said, he will come to us. He said, his coming is as certain as the dawn. And he will come to us as the latter and former rain. He's saying the same thing. Different language, but the same thing. The spirit without measure. That I may know him. I didn't hear you. And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Being made comfort. In other words, you're not going to get this thing if you don't suffer. And he's not talking about suffering of death and sickness. He's talking about, you know, suffering of self-denial. In fasting, in prayer, in walking with God, you know. That's what he's talking about. Suffering of persecution and affliction that come as a result of walking with God. Affliction and persecution arise for the word's sake. We dealt with this on Wednesday. So when you begin to walk like this, you will suffer self-denial. And as you begin to walk with God, it will attract satanic affliction and persecution. But because you are walking with God, you will overcome them. But you will still suffer them. In other words, it will be allowed. I've said this over the years, you know, and make it very clear now. They will be allowed to come against you. We shared this on Wednesday. Because if it's not allowed to come against you, then God doesn't have a legal basis to punish them. So God must allow them to attack you. But the good news is, if you're walking with God in the fear of God, in the love of God, you will have an armor. You will have a shield. So when it hits you, it will not penetrate your armor. And you will overcome it. Let's use some symbolisms from the Old Testament. It will be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You will enter the fire, but the fire will not burn you. You will enter the lion's den, but the lions will not eat you. But the person that does not want to enter the fire and the person that does not want to enter the lion's den cannot partake of this. I did the amen there, didn't. It's part of the package. But you see, the man who is walking with God and who is perfecting the love of God and the love of God is casting out the fear, he will not be afraid to enter the fire. He will not be afraid to enter the lion's den. You know, Daniel wasn't afraid to enter the lion's den. He didn't go and pray in secret. You know, if it was some of us, we'd go and pray in the basement of the house where nobody would know. It's wisdom of God. You know what the Bible says? It says, Daniel opened his window. Give Daniel a clap offering, somebody. So that they can see he's doing it. He could have closed his windows. He could have gone to the basement or done it in his bathroom where nobody would see him. He deliberately opened his window knowing what will happen. That he would be arrested and he would be put inside the lion's den. But he knew his God so well that his God would deliver him. And that God will deliver you. For they that know their God shall be strong. And they will do exploits. Isn't that what we're talking about? Say, then shall we know if we follow on to know. Am I talking to anybody here? Being made conformable unto his death. Verse 11. if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. You have to read that in the Amplified Bible. He's not talking about, you know, the rapture and the resurrection. He's talking about the life of God being made manifest in the mortal flesh, where you are experiencing the life of God, even though you are still in your physical body, but you're not experiencing resurrection life and power at the same level Jesus demonstrated it. Honey, do you remember, Pastor Jean, you know what Jesus called himself before he was raised from the dead? He told Martha, what kind of faith is that? It's the faith of the Son of God. You know what he said? He said, your brother shall live again. Martha, like all of us, everything is going to happen at the rapture. Everything is going to happen in the millennium. But that's what the people are still saying now. Most Christians are like Martha. I know, Lord, that he will rise again in the last day. I know that. Then Jesus brought it to today. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. What I am preaching to you is not what's going to happen at the rapture. It's what's going to happen now. And I say, now is the time. That's the title of the message. Now. You know what he said? He said, I am. He said, not going to be. Wally, not going to be. I am now the resurrection and the life. Not going. Now, he hadn't been resurrected. The resurrection was still a week or 10 days ahead. But he said, there was enough resurrection power inside his flesh. So he had the boldness to say, I am now, not in the last day, the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Then he asked the question he's still asking all of us. Believest thou this? Turn to your neighbor and say, believest thou this, Pastor Lubi's message? That's the problem with the church. We don't believe. You know, Martha didn't believe. You know what she said? She said, I know that anything you ask God, he will give to you. And then Jesus said, it's one of my favorite passages I love preaching from. He said, show me where you have laid him. Then they started walking towards the tomb. I can imagine all the brethren and the disciples took away. Jesus, Eleiato. This is different. Remember Jairus' daughter? Maybe she really didn't die, but you're faint. And that boy, you know, the son of the widow, maybe he just really fainted and they couldn't revive him. But this is different. The man has been dead for 4 days and they have sealed the tomb. By now, he is stinking. Maggots and worms will be entered. They didn't know who they were dealing with. Just like the world today does not know who they are dealing with. That's why it's called the manifestation of the sons of God. Are you listening to me? This man knew who he was. And he knew what. This was before his resurrection. I am. He said that where I might know him and the power of his resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. Roll the stone away. And everybody was nervous. Mother said, Lord, by this time he stinketh. Let's translate that. Olubi Johnson, 21st century translation. Don't try this. Jesus, please don't try this. Don't disgrace yourself. You've done so well. This is beyond you. You know what the Lord said? He said, settest thou now unto thee, that if thou shouldest believe, thou shalt see the glory of God. That's why we call it the glory. And then he said, not with a gentle voice, not with a whisper. In case, voice, Lazarus, come forth. Ah! I like John. And you know, this miracle is only recorded in John. It's not recorded in any of the other Gospels. It's an amazing miracle. I can imagine John's hand as he, because he was there that day. And he saw it. He said, and he that was dead, came forth. And Jesus didn't start shouting and doing praise worship. There's a place for that. Don't misunderstand. You know, there's a lot of things that come out of unbelief. Then when you know who you are, you know what I said? He said, loose him and let him go. Glory be to God. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. Now, that will raise you up. Saying the third day he will raise us up. That's what he's talking about. When we start doing miracles like this, it will raise us up and we shall be exalted above all hills and all nations will flow into us. I'd like you to turn to your neighbor and say, how would you like to do that like once every month? You see, our brain can't take it. The unbelief of the mind can't take it. That's why we're preaching things like this. What Israel ought to do. You can sit down if you can. I ain't done yet, not by Jeff. Jesus is Lord. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. So we understand what that means now. Not as though I had already attained. Said, I'm not there yet. See, they never got there. They wrote these things down so that we, the third day church, will get there. Or either we're already perfect. Yet Paul calls himself perfect. He says, you know, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. So he's talking about two kinds of perfection. There's the perfection of maturity, but here he's talking about the perfection of the cleansing, total removal of the sin nature that will cause you to inherit the Spirit without measure at the same level that it was in the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the Apostle Paul, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we might grow up into him in all things. He says, that if I might apprehend, but I follow after, verse 12, but I follow after, that if I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. In other words, I want to get what Jesus bought for me. That's a simple way of putting it. So Jesus already bought it by his shed blood and his sufferings. Now, I, as an individual, I have to now apprehend that which has already been apprehended for me. It's been apprehended for me legally. I must now apprehend it in my own personal experience vitally. And that's true for every Christian. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. You know, if they had got it, we would have read it. If they raised people after 4 days in the grave, we would have read it. It would have been the Acts of the Apostles. They didn't get there. But we will get there. God said, I should correct that statement. We are getting there. When I was preparing this message, this morning, early this morning, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning when I was praying, God gave me, it's not a vision, but it's such a clear revelation. And he said, I should share it when I come here. And when what I just said now triggered it and reminded me. He said, don't say you get, say you are getting there. He said, it is like you when you are coming from Lagos to Ibadan. He said, your destination is home. This happened to my wife and I, and Yemisi went to Ijebu some days ago, went to Lagos, you know, like a week or two ago. He said, once you get to the toll gate, you're already in Ibadan. But you're not at home. That's where we are now spiritually. Give the Lord a clap. It was so graphic to me. He said, you still have another like 30, 40 minutes before you get home. He said, but you are already at the gates of the city. Go celebrate it, friend. When I finish, you will be greatly encouraged. We are not at Ogiri. We're not in Shaga. We were there years ago. We've left all those ones behind. We've even passed Guru Maharaj. I'm talking physically. And maybe spiritually, but let's leave that alone. We have passed Guru Maharaj. We're climbing the something as we enter into the city. That's why you should be strongly motivated now what Israel ought to do. Brethren, I can't know myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. I didn't hear you. Forgetting the things which are behind. Forget Ogiri. Forget Shagamu. Forget Guru Maharaj. Set your eyes on home. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody. Reaching forth for those things which are before. What's before me? The fullness of Christ. I press. That's exactly the same language I was using in Hosea. Let us be zealous. I think Complete Jewish Bible says, let us press on. Let me quickly go back there just for a minute. In Hosea chapter 6, thank you, Jesus. And verses 2, and I think it's verse 3. Yes, Complete Jewish Bible. Yes. let's see what it says here. Good. Verse 2. Then shall we know. Some of those translations says, let us strive. Complete Jewish Bible says, let us strive to know the Lord. New International Version says, let us acknowledge, let us press on. Let us press on. What did Paul say? I press toward the mark. Shout again, everybody. Say, it is time, to press toward the mark. That's the purpose of this message. It is time. Let us press on. Let's go back to Philippians now. Thank you, Jesus. I love this, my Bible. It's so good. You can go from translation, Greek, Hebrew, everything is all in one, very easy to access. This e-sword, I recommend it to everybody. If you don't have it, a lot of those other ones are toys. They are good too. They are good too. Praise the Lord. Right. I press toward the mark. I didn't hear you. For the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Now we begin to close. Why? Because we have to redeem the time because the days are evil. When the Bible says time, again, is years in this prophetic context. Now, I want us to go to Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk. And I'm going to look at verse 3. And I want to look at it in the Amplified Bible. And there's a reason for that. In my own Bible here, the Amplified Bible makes a reference to the same thing in Hebrews. Paul quoting from Hebrews, he quotes this scripture in the book of Hebrews. Let's read it first in Habakkuk, then we'll go to Hebrews in a minute. Say, for the vision is yet for an appointment. But it's screaming again. Time. Let's read it in the prophetic context. For the vision is yet for an appointed year. Which year is it appointed? I'm coming. And it hastens to the end fulfillment, and it will not deceive or disappoint. Say, this is not going to deceive, it's not going to disappoint. It's as sure as the morning. Are you listening to me? Though it tarry, it has been tarry, And I'm going to give you my experience in a minute before we close. Wait earnestly for it. The years I've taught about waiting actively. See, most of the church is waiting passively. You see, the great majority of the church who don't have this understanding, you know, and have refused to listen to the prophetic voice, you know, of what Israel ought to do. This is their understanding. We're now in the year 2000, just going to come any day now. Some people even say it's going to come next week. So they're just waiting passively that one day, all this evil that is happening, you know, the coronavirus, this, you know, and all the terrible things that are happening in the world. Jesus is just going to come one day. He's just going to catch us away and he's just going to rescue us, you know. That's not what he's talking about. If you're waiting like that, you're going to be terribly disappointed. You got to wait actively. Because it will surely come. Watch this. It will not be behind on its appointed day. Now the Bible says one day is, you know, a day is like a year. Even in that year, there is a day. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. What vision is he talking about? In order to understand this, you have to go to Hebrews. It says in Hebrews 10:37 and 38. If you go to the book of Hebrews, thank you, Jesus. Right. In order to really understand, you have to read from verse 35. It says, "Cast not away therefore your confidence." I didn't hear you. "Which has great recompense of reward." Turn to your neighbor and say, "The reward of the Spirit without measure." So don't cast away your confidence that you can inherit it. Next verse. "For you have need of patience." James chapter 1, quoted this on Wednesday. "Count it all joy when you find the devil's temptation." Knowing this, "Let patience have her perfect work, that it may be perfect entire." It's talking about perfection again. "Wanting nothing." The Amplified Bible says, "Having no defects." The same thing he said in 2 Corinthians, you know, "You cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, without spot, blemish, or wrinkle." The same thing. "For you have need of patience, that after," everybody say after, not before, "oh, you might receive the promise." The promise of what? Next verse. "For yet a little while, he that shall come will come and will not tarry." This is where Paul went to quote the one from Habakkuk. He's talking about the promise of his coming in us. That's what he's talking. It can apply to promise for prosperity or healing or anything. But the prophetic context of this, he's talking about the promise of his coming in us in the perfection, the fullness of Christ, of the Spirit without measure. He says, even if it tarries, he said, wait, it will come and it will not tarry. The reason why we have to press in now is to redeem the time. Every extra year that it takes to bring this manifestation of the glory, more people suffer and die. That's why the Bible says that redeeming the time because the days are evil. Say it this way, redeeming the years because the days are evil. Now, let me share my experience, and not only my own experience, but all of us, you know. You know, after the year 2000, we're expecting this great outpouring. But it didn't happen. I remember when 9/11 happened, I said, this is the sign, you know. And we all began to pray, and we've been praying ever since. But we pray better now. We pray now with more understanding, with more revelation, with more efficiency. 2002, nothing happened. 2003, nothing happened. Now I understand why the Holy Spirit said what he said. He said, though it tarry. 2003, 2004, 2000. Every year, I had an expectation in my heart that this would be the year. That this would be the year. That this would be the year. But it didn't happen. And even this 2021, I thought this would be the year. I begin to seek God, pray, fast, seek the Lord, seek the Lord, seek the Lord, seek the Lord. I said, though it tarry. He said, wait for it. Then I asked the Lord, I said, what is going on here? why is this thing seemingly delayed? He said, there is no fixed year. There are only fixed conditions. It is when the church, with my help, fulfills the conditions, let me say it the way he said it. The year the church fulfills the conditions will be the appointed year. 2021 has gone. We're now looking at 2022. That is why God told me to come and give this message. And I say it's not just for scripture as well. This is the time. Everybody shout time! It is time to follow Jesus. I'm not talking about being a Christian. I'm talking about imitating him. Fear of God. Praying with all kinds of prayer. In the spirit with strong crying and tears. Obedience. You know. It is time! I didn't hear you. To follow Jesus. Because if we follow him as we ought, do you understand? We can buy back the years. And I'm explaining that before I close. What's going to happen is this. As the church, it's not going to be everybody. Not at first. In fact, it will never be everybody. Although it's the will of God for everybody. But initially, God's going to just have a small group. There won't be many. I'm going to give you from the Bible. But if it gets that small group, and inside that small group, the conditions can be fulfilled. And they fulfill the conditions, he will come in his glory. And then it will spread. You know, everybody always joins the bandwagon after, you know, then it will spread. People will come from all over the world. They don't even have to come here physically, but thank God. You know, it's one of the reasons why God invented the internet. Because the rate at which revelation and truth is going to be transmitted now is going to be so fast. You will not have to know anybody. You will not have to attend a particular church. It will be church without borders, without walls. People in Japan, people in South Korea, people in China will be able to listen to our messages here, because there's a software now on Google. You can translate everything I'm saying now into Chinese. Without me having to do anything about it. Hello, somebody. So God has put all the things ready. So once he gets a group of people who can fulfill the conditions, the year they do it, that year, he said, it will not be behind on its appointed day. That year, when the conditions are fulfilled, now becomes the appointed year. So 2004 is not the appointed year. 2016 is not the appointed year. 2020 is not the appointed year. 2021 is not the appointed year. The appointed year is may not. We're trusting God now for 2022. Now, you and I, that's why God sent me to see this message. We have a work to do between now and then. The Feast of Tabernacles. Next Tabernacles is 2022. It's going to be in the time of the Feast of Tabernacles. You know why? Watch this. Passover was fulfilled on the Feast of Passover, wasn't it? Jesus was crucified the exact day. Pentecost was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, wasn't it? Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, Tabernacles is going to be fulfilled in the time of the Feast of Tabernacles. So we have to wait and press in. Now, I'm closing. Second Peter chapter 3. Looking for and hastening. See, that's why it's not fixed. If you look at the New International Version or some of the other translations, I like one. I think it's New International Version. You know what it says? It says, as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. I would say speed its coming. Then turn to your neighbor. Say, what we do or do not do can either make it 2022 or 2023 or 2024. God forbid. But you know, all of that, whether it's 2022, whether it's 2023, whether it's 2024, we still fit into the prophetic framework. It's still third day. But how many people will suffer? How many more will die of COVID-19? How many more wars? How many more, you know, shakings? That's the next thing I'm coming to now. We have to take place before he comes in us. We can speed his coming. Turn to your neighbor and say, we're going to speed his coming. Now I understand. Brother Olubi does not have to beg me. I didn't hear you. Mommy Sarah does not have to beg me. Pray, 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 pray. Now I understand. I'm going to play my part to speed its coming. In Haggai, in chapter 2, in verses 6 and 7, it says, I will shake, you know, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and the sea and the dry land. Then, we'll go back to verse 6. You have to, these things, you have to read them meditatively. You have to read them carefully. He said, for yes, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and the sea and the dry land. That has taken place, and is still taking place as we speak now. If you go to Luke chapter 21, he says, you know, that I will show signs in the heavens and the earth. There was another sign that came into the earth in 2014, 2015, 2016. The blood moons. Again, people thought maybe it's going to be the rapture. Maybe God is going to come. It was a sign. It was a sign of the intensification of the spiritual warfare that was bombarding. He said, the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And these evil spirits were being dislodged from the heavenlies and coming to the earth. And we began to have terrible things happen. First of all, we had the Boko Haram of the Chibok girls. Then we have the Supreme Court judgment in America that legalized homosexual marriage, an abomination that would never, nobody would ever have thought it would ever happen in America. Then after that, we had this insurrection on January 6th that almost destroyed America, the bastion of democracy. And you know the funny thing, Dr. Williams, that was January 6th. When did COVID shut down? March. That same, it was, we saw the progression. The shakings began, they began to happen from 2014. It's been happening before, but it increased in frequency. We began to have abductions of two girls. Unheard of! 300! It so shook the world. Everybody said, bring back our girls, bring back our girls, bring back our girls. Now it's no longer news. It's now become normal. These evil spirits. You see, they're like in the times of Noah and in times of Lot. He said, and the thoughts of men's minds was only evil. It's these powers that have been displaced in the heaven that are now on the earth that are making people do things that are unnatural. Then from there we move to the Supreme Court. Then from there we move to this insurrection. And then, as if to play his joker, Satan now just rolled us the ball of COVID-19. Something that has never happened before in history. The whole world got shut down. Let's go to verse 7. And I will shake all nations. Turn to your neighbor and say, all nations are currently being shaken. Even after the vaccine. When we thought, okay, this thing has subsided and all that. People who refused to take the vaccine became incubating factories for variants. Delta variant, all kinds of variants. You know, they're now in England, they've now decided to give all the children, you know, between 5 and 11 years old. They're now giving them vaccine. And as we're approaching the winter now, the cases have started going up again. You know, they're wondering what to do and all of that. It's all the shaking. I've got good news. What comes after shaking of all nations? Everybody open your mouth. and the desire of all nations shall come. That's Christ in us, the hope of glory. And I will fill this house with glory. Give the Lord a clap offering. That's why I said, we're not going to get, we're getting in. We're already entering the town. See, once we see that last one, shaking of all nations, then we know the next thing on the program is desire of all nations shall come. And that's where you and I come in. Closing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Good. How are we going to speed this thing? We're looking now at 2022 to see how God can help us to speed it. We don't want it to go to 2024 or 2025. It could, but I don't believe it will. I didn't hear you. I said, I don't believe it will. You know where we are now? We are where Daniel was in Daniel chapter 9. I got it here in my notes. The Bible says, I, Daniel, understood by the books. That's why everybody says, it is time! The number of years that came to Jeremiah the prophet. We now understand by the books that we are in that time now. We are in the third day. We have seen the shaking of the nations progressively. We now understand that the next thing now is the desire of all nations, Christ in us, the hope of glory, to come. So, go back to Daniel. So, what does Daniel do? Does Daniel relax and say, well, you know, Jeremiah has prophesied that it's going to be 70 years and then it was just going to happen? No. 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 Hello, Daniel! I set my face. Don't your neighbor say, I'm setting my face today. To seek the Lord by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I've not finished your confession. Say, I set my face. Turn to your neighbor. Say, I set my face. And you too set your face. To seek the Lord by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And like Anna of old, I will not depart from the temple until I see the glory of God. That's what Israel ought to do. Two factors. Number one is number. We call it critical mass. There's a certain number God needs. God does not save by few. He's not limited to save by few or by many. But there is a prophetic number. And we see this in the book of 2 Chronicles in chapter 5. And incidentally, even though it was the same, that scripture was used to fulfill the Acts of the Apostles and the Feast of Pentecost, it was actually written in the time of the Feast of Tabernacles. You can go and check that. That feast, when Solomon dedicated the temple, it was in the time of the Feast of Tabernacles. So the Feast of Tabernacles is the feast that is going to fulfill that scripture again on a prophetic level. And isn't it amazing how the Bible is written? That's when you know that this book was written by God. The Bible tells us in 2 Chronicles chapter 5 that it was 120 priests. Go and check it. How many people were there on the day of Pentecost? Give the Lord another clap offering. Amazing! So now, we need at least 120 of us. Now we can have more. Thank God for more. Not 120 passive people that mommy Sarah has to be begging every morning. Pray, 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 pray. They'll be sleeping. Hello. You can't say amen. Say, homie. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 5. I'm closing. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. I'm giving you a pure prophetic word to the glory of God. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. We're just going to look at one or two scriptures and we're going to close. And look at verse 12. Second Chronicles has a problem when you don't know your Bible properly. Second Chronicles, yes, chapter 5, verse 12. And the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph, of Heman, and of Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, that speaks of purity. Speaks of the life of God being manifest in the flesh, washing away the sin nature to a great degree. Having cymbals, I didn't hear you, and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar. And with them, 120 priests, keeping their mouths shut. That's tongues right there in the New Testament. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. Huh? They were all filled with, and they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It was a fulfillment, a partial fulfillment of this scripture. But it is now going to be fulfilled now in the Feast of Tabernacles for us. Because it was not written in the Feast of Pentecost. It was actually written for the Feast of Tabernacles. Next verse. And it came to pass, as the trumpeters and the singers were as, what did I preach to you last week? Sowing and reaping. The week before. United prayer in the Spirit. When they are as one. These are the conditions. That's why we need all that foundation. The fear of God. The fruit of the Spirit, the love of God, all that must be there in these 120. They don't have to be perfect, no. But they have to be perfecting the work of the love of God. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm not perfect yet, but I am certainly perfecting the love of God. That's the condition. Not perfect, but perfecting. When the glory comes, then a lot of the perfection, the leadership to some degree will be perfect. But a lot of the follower, the important thing is you are perfecting. What does it mean to perfect the love of God? I make it very simple. Every day you should be cleaning with the blood, confessing your sins. Every day you should be using the word of God or speaking God's word on love. I have love, joy, peace. And then also 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I endure long and I'm patient and kind. I'm never envious. You have to be saying those things every day. Every day. That's how and then you pray in tongues about it. Then it goes into the emotions, the body, and the circumstances, and it runs its full course. So each day you should be perfecting the love of God. As you are perfecting the love of God, then you gradually become perfected. I'm going to repeat that. I will say, every day I should be perfecting the love of God in my life as I pray in tongues. You see, praying in tongues and praying in spirit, supplication and growing, is only effective if the love of God is the foundation. That's why it's not been working. The intercession that is going to bring down the glory must be an intercession that has the foundation of the love of God, and the people that are practicing it, that are doing the praying, are perfecting, I will say it again, the love of God. Then turn to your neighbor and say, I am perfecting. I have not yet perfected, but I am perfecting the love of God. And very soon, I will get it perfected. Give yourselves a clap offering. When there was one in praising and thanking the Lord, and they lifted up their voices with the trumpet. Everybody say the trumpets. That's tongues. It's not this physical trumpet. Thank God for Pastor Charles. Charles, you just got the promotion to pastor. Seriously. And we're going to use these ones too. But you know, he's talking about tongues in the New Testament. And cymbals and instruments of music. And we're going to have a lot of praise and worship too. Hey, choir, Pastor Andrew, listen to this. The hour is coming and now is. When you guys begin to praise and worship, the glory cloud will come down. Watch this. Nobody will be able to see anybody in choir. You cannot go from here to there. And they will not be able to come from there outside. But while they are singing and they are worshiping and they are ministering because of the glory of God, people will be getting healed automatically. Cancer will be disappearing. Blind eyes will be opening. The lame will start walking. The dumb will start speaking. No prayer. No word of knowledge. No word of wisdom. It will just be the presence. That's what's coming. So get your act together and start perfecting the love of God, praying in the Spirit. For He is good and His mercy endureth forever. Then the house. Glory to God. See, the Bible tells us the steps. Then the house. That then the house. I didn't hear you. I said that, then the house. So all of this was a prerequisite. The house was not just automatically filled with the glory of God. That then the house was filled with the cloud, even the house of the Lord. Verse 14. Oh, glory to God. So that, everybody give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. The priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud. For the what? How many want the glory? If you put your hand up, turn to the people whose hands are up, not the ones whose hands are down. People whose hands are up around you, he said, let us now seek the Lord. It is time to seek the Lord. We got the number. We're certainly more than 120. The other factor now is capacity. As we pray. So we have captains over tens. We have captains over 50s. We have captains over hundreds. And then we have captains over thousands. The way you combine them is different. I showed you in Leviticus 26 verse 8. That's why all these other messages were prerequisite to this one. The way you combine captains over tens, it's not the same way you combine captains over hundreds. It's not the same way you combine captains over thousands. Captains over thousands, two of them can put 10,000 to flight. But captains over hundreds is going to take 100 of them, you know, to put 10,000 to flight. And captains over tens is going to take, you know, 100 of them to put, 5 of them to put 100 to flight. But if your capacity increases, watch this. This is what God told me. I believe the Lord told me to encourage us. If we don't even have more numbers, even though we'll get as many numbers as we can, but the ones that are here increase their capacity. So those who are captains over tens now become captains over 50s. And those who are now captains over 50s now become captains over hundreds. And those who are not captains over hundreds become captains over thousands. Between now and the next Feast of Tabernacles, we will bring down the glory. Stand to your feet. We got work to do. Touch your neighbor, say, we got work to do. Say, it is time to seek the Lord. It is time to follow Jesus. Let's talk to God. God is working His purpose out as we transmit to you. Oh, sing it, sister. God, You're working Your purpose out, and the time is drawing nearer and nearer. Draws the year
nearer and nearer.
Draws the year, the year that
has come to be.
When the earth shall be filled with the glory of God, as the waters cover the sea. God is working His purpose out.
God is working His purpose out
as year sucks.
seeds to you.
God, you're working your purpose out.
God, you're
working your purpose out. And the year is drawing near.
Oh, yes.
Nearer and nearer draws the year. The year that shall surely be.
When the earth
shall be filled with the
glory of God, as the waters cover the sea.
Let's talk to God. Hallelujah. Nearer and nearer draws the year that will surely be. There's a year coming, and we're trusting God for this coming year. Let's all let each part, every part, praise share. If you are 10 now, move to 50. If you're 50, move to 100. If you're 100, move to 1,000. And by the time God combines all of us together, we will get the Spirit without measure.
Holy be, when the earth shall be filled
with the glory of God, as the waters
cover. Put one hand on your heart. Indeed, God is working His purpose out. God is working. And you and I are an essential part of that plan. Crucial. Those young boys in Jerusalem, Peter, James, and John, they didn't know the full implication of what they were walking in. That from that place, the glory of God was going to fill the whole earth. And now again, God is doing the same from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, in the land that the rivers divide. The people tall, measure the stature of fullness of Christ, smooth skin, no spot, blemish, or wrinkle, according to the scripture. I didn't pull those scriptures out of heart. I didn't invent those scriptures. They're there. They fit like pieces of a jigsaw puzzle fit each other. My suppliants. Oh, you are at a threshold of destiny. Have a sense of urgency. Have a sense of purpose. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word this afternoon, for opening my eyes to understanding your purpose, that now is the time, now is the year to follow Jesus, to press on to know the Lord, so that we can bring your glory into the earth. Oh God, I confess my sins of spiritual laziness, of complacency. I repent. I receive forgiveness and the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. And I repent. And I determine in my heart now to have a sense of urgency, a sense of purpose, a sense of destiny, knowing that what I do or do not do can either speed up or delay your glory, that will bring blessing to men all over the world, so that the sick will be healed, the dead will be raised, the lepers will be cleansed. Oh God, have mercy on me to see this and redeem the time, because these days are evil. God, help me to understand my purpose. Strengthen me with might by your Spirit in the inner man to follow Jesus, to press on toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus, to daily, like Jesus, with the fear of God, pray with supplication and strong crying to perfect the love of God in my life so that I can be a vessel of honor through which you can bring your glory down in this hour. In Jesus' name. Father, thank you. Nengr dolomo tofredesk. Lo pridike tofredenga. Jelike kokofrede. Nongria katofre. Nolomo kokokofre. Father, thank you. Zelibike tolomosha. Lord Jesus, aprike tolomo tolomengara. Lord Holy Spirit, tolomo tolomo tofredesk. Zelipe, thank you for your blood. Leprike tolomo tofrede la batofresk. Zephri, Lombreka Klamatolom to Frey, thank you for your life. Jeleke Klamatolom to Frey to Freshe, Zephre, for your power. Nikatolom to Frey Ngaro, Rika, Jolokikoko in our souls, Elepricatolom to Fredesk, in our bodies, Elepricatolom to Fredesk, in our circumstances, Elepricatolom to Fredesk, in our regional heavenlies, Lombreka to Zephri, Rima Tuskofre, in Jesus' name. If you need healing, just stretch forth your hand. If you are home, stretch it towards your device. Father, for everyone on the sound of my voice that is in need of healing or deliverance, healing for their bodies, deliverance for the mind or the emotions, Lord, we send forth that healing word now. The Bible says you sent your word and heal them and deliver them from their destructions. So we say, be thou made whole in Jesus' name. And we come against the spirits of depression and infirmity and the spirits of oppression. We cast you out. We destroy your works. Resist and we bind you in Jesus' name. We set you free. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. It is time. Scream it again. I didn't hear you. It's not just time to be a Christian. It's time to imitate Jesus. It is time to pray with the fear of God. It is time every morning to get up early. It is time every morning to pray with strong crying and tears. Not this Mickey Mouse prayer. Or just put your phone on so that they will know you are there. Hello, somebody. I need warriors who will increase their capacity. If you're 10 now, move to 50. If you're 50 now, move to 100. Within 6 months, I want to see results. By the next Feast of Tabernacles, let's bring the glory down. Lord bless you and keep you.
Amen.
The Lord make his face to shine upon
Amen.
You. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you.
Amen.
The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail.
Amen.
Above only and not beneath.
Amen.
Everything you set your hand to is successful.
Amen.
I said everything you set your hand to is successful.
Amen.
You are at least 10 times better than your peers.
Amen.
You possess the gates of your enemies.
Amen.
Even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living.
Amen.
With long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection, the fullness of Christ. So Lord, impart unto you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The love of God our Father and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, turn to the neighbor and say, you follow Christ with all of your heart, strength in your spirit, prayer, supplication, strong crying and tears. With the fear of God, perfecting the love of God every day, so we can bring the glory down for the next Feast of Tabernacles in Jesus' name.